from Alice in Wonderland. Have I gone mad? I'm afraid so. But let me tell you something. The best people usually are. After filing for divorce, Lola Adams found herself in the depths of transition. She needed to find a new place to live, finance her divorce, and do it all while under stricter requirements for study and meditation at the temple.
By this time, I was at the temple 3.5, 4 hours every single day, even weekends. It was now the place where all my friends were, and the place I felt the most assured by what I was doing in life. I looked forward to going. I felt like I'd accomplished something when I left.
At what point did you join the temple staff?
Within a few weeks of filing for divorce. I wanted to move out, and because of my study, I hadn't been pulling enough jobs to make that happen. Kyle, who became my reporting officer, told me the temple hired members to be staff and gave them free room and board.
Did you feel that that was a good opportunity?
I did at the time. It seemed like the perfect chance for me. And I believed it availed itself because I was healing my traumas. Opening my mind, and the world was opening up to me in response. The idea was always that the more I applied myself, the better life would be.
What position were you hired for?
It wasn't like that. There weren't any departments. It was more I was temple staff and I'd do whatever was necessary. Sometimes that was processing paperwork. Sometimes it was mopping floors.
Where did you live?
The temple kept a row of housing units in a complex half a mile from the main building. They were studios and slept two to a room, but usually one roommate worked days and the other worked nights, so there wasn't much overlap.
What were you paid?
$150 a week.
How many hours a day did you work?
Generally 12 to 14 hours.
A day?
Yes.
The defense heavily implied that working conditions were exploitive at the temple. But on rebuttal, Mr. Rhodes called temple representative Michael Learn.
Temple employees were salaried, so they did not log their hours. There has never been a successful labor suit filed against the temple.
Is it true that staff frequently work 14 hours a day?
That's an overstatement. I can speak for myself. I am a member of the temple staff, and I put in 40 hours a week.
Is it the temple's position that $150 a week is fair compensation?
It is fair when you consider that the temple covers shelter and meals.
All meals were covered?
Yes. The temple served 3 meals a day in the galley, and all staff were allowed to eat there 7 days a week. A staff member would have no need to buy themselves food.
We couldn't buy food if we wanted. There were no kitchens in our studio units. There were just mini fridges. We weren't even allowed to have hot plates.
Due to these conditions and your small pay, did you feel that you were spending all your free time at the temple as well?
Objection. Leading.
I'll rephrase. Lola, was it policy for you to spend your free time at the temple?
It was unofficial policy.
What do you mean?
Due to circumstance, we had to eat at the temple, and because we were prevented from communicating with so many people, by default, we spent all our time with fellow members.
How were you prevented from communicating with other people?
We were disallowed from communicating with anyone considered to be an ignorant force. If a family member or a friend expressed criticism about TCS, they were an ignorant force, and our connection to them jeopardized our growth. And beyond that, our connection to them jeopardized the union. If someone was convinced to leave TCS, they'd leave the tapestry. That person's removal from the tapestry jeopardized everyone and everything else in the tapestry.
Cult expert Stella Laughlin.
Isolation is an integral part of any destructive cult. Sometimes it's clearly delineated, such as in Scientology, the policy is called disconnection. Other times, members are just discouraged by group leaders to speak to anyone critical of the group. However, you will not find a destructive cult that allows members to maintain relationships with people critical of its teachings.
Is isolation an element of the three-step change model?
Not directly. The three-step change model is made possible in part by isolation, but it's not one of the steps. Unfreeze, change, refreeze. In my expert opinion, the first step occurred when Lola attended the retreat in Key Largo and was made to believe she was flawed, that her future happiness was dependent on the group. The refreeze happened more gradually as she became immersed in TCS and spent a week camping, focusing solely on doctrine. The third step, refreeze, occurred continuously over time until the day she was arrested. Refreeze speaks to the reinforcement of the new self, aka the cult self. This is multifaceted. The continued study of group doctrines combined with the communal support of fellow members combined with various other methods reinforces the new identity. Some groups make members adopt new names or change their appearance to more strongly associate with the new identity. Sacrifices from the past life are also requested. This is a common practice. What they're saying is, give up everything you used to be. TCS didn't make Lola change her name or appearance, but they did make her sacrifice.
TCS didn't feel kindly about art, or at least the production of art.
Why?
Well, the thinking was that if a person was expending their thought, energy, intention, etc., outwardly onto a canvas or other medium, they were wasting it. TCS believed that all of that rich energy needed to be directed inward, to first heal individually and second heal collectively. Art was an example of energy being misplaced, so in essence, it was weakening the group.
And you were an artist?
Yes. I designed websites professionally, but that stemmed from my passion as an artist. Ever since I was a kid, I painted, I designed, I was always creating, and even into my career and the time I moved to Gainesville, I painted regularly.
What kind of paintings?
Oil paintings.
What happened in your second month with TCS?
I brought my paintings with me to the temple. There were over 20 in my possession. And
what happened to them?
I tore them apart in front of everyone. I'd spent decades painting those.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to progress. Those paintings were... they were reminding me of where I'd put my energy before. They were representative of the way I used to live my life wastefully. I couldn't even bear to look at them anymore, and I wanted everyone at TCS to see.
See what?
See that I was fully devoted.
Were you told to bring those paintings in and throw them away?
I wasn't told directly. I was told, we were all told stories about union members who'd thrown away their possessions and gestures for the union. And it was repeated to me how wasteful painting, dancing, acting, all art was. That people who are artistic, which a lot of us were really the people with the most energy to divert inwardly. And it was, I don't know, I just came to understand that I needed to do that.
So you were not told to throw away your art?
Not directly, no.
And were you told what the compensation and workload would be in advance of applying to be a temple staff?
Compensation, yes. I didn't appreciate what the workload would be.
Did you clock in and out at work?
No.
So you were in charge of your own hours?
No, I mean, no. I was given projects and needed to ensure they were done. Sometimes that took all night.
Were there people who generally finished their projects faster than you did?
I suppose.
And on your 20-day meditation retreat, you continued receiving a salary, though you perform no work. Is that right?
Yes, but... I mean, yes, I did.
Let's talk about this 20-day retreat. This was the longest and final retreat in your introduction to TCS. Is that right?
That's right.
And where did it occur?
Ocala National Forest, same as the second retreat.
Okay. And what was the program like?
It was the same environment, same everything as the second retreat, but more intense. The physical work was harder and the meditative and study hours were longer.
What was an average day like?
Wake up, meditate, work, study, clean, study, work, meditate. We'd be receiving study and meditating late into the night and up early every day. Not a lot of sleep.
Was Kyle there?
Yes, he was there. He was still my leader.
How did the leader system work?
There were six of us in a group, and each group had a leader. Kyle was ours, and he... I know he saw something special in me. After our counseling, we'd gotten close, and... But it wasn't until the 20-day retreat he started remarking on my considerable potential within the union.
What do you mean by potential within the union?
Not all threads are created equal. And the tapestry is strengthened by strong consciousness, strong threads. Kyle saw strength in me. He used me as an example in front of the other students.
How?
There was one day we were in study. It was outside. It was a beautiful afternoon, sunny. And my group was sitting in a circle on the ground. Kyle was standing up, walking around us, and he was explaining the tapestry. How the tapestry creates a connection between us so strong, we can feel one another. We became one. And he told us that bond is not only real, but demonstrable.
How was it demonstrable?
Kyle took us through an exercise. Because we were all part of the tapestry by that point, and he was a strong thread within the tapestry, he had one of us at a time sit in the center of the circle. Our eyes were closed. Everyone else's eyes were open. Kyle would move around the space, stepping gently on stones so there were no footsteps. And every few minutes, he'd signal to an observing member. The member would say, "Where's Kyle?" And the person in the center of the circle, with their eyes closed, would have to point to where Kyle was.
What was the purpose of this exercise?
To demonstrate how strong the tapestry was to us. And to illustrate how strong our skills were to Kyle. In addition to showing us the power of the tapestry as a way for Kyle to gauge our ability.
How did you perform?
I was the best in the class. Everyone else performed probably around or under 50%. I could sense where Kyle was every turn. I was always right. I remember watching his eyes alight after I'd point, open my eyes, and see him there anticipating my success. I felt so connected to him. Like there was something between us. I truly felt that we were one.
How often did you perform this exercise?
Every few days. For the whole 20-day workshop. And I was right every time. I felt I had a special connection to the tapestry, but I also felt I had a special connection to Kyle.
What did this exercise mean to you as a new member?
It felt like magic. Like I was tapping into an ability I never knew I had. It was empowering. It validated everything they were teaching me.
You felt you were able to feel Kyle's presence through a sixth sense?
I felt that I was able to feel his presence because of the tapestry, and that made it feel all the more real to me.
Did others in your group feel similarly?
Yes. While they surprised themselves with their own abilities, it was my example setting that showed them how powerful and real the tapestry was.
Do you still believe it was the tapestry at work that day that guided your success?
No, I don't know exactly what happened, but I don't think it was because of the tapestry. There is no tapestry.
Okay. What happened between you and Kyle when you returned to Gainesville?
We began dating. We fell in love. We were married. There was an increasing number of married union members who attended the temple. It felt like an increase in status if you had a partner within the union, especially a senior member like I had. There was prestige in that and strength.
The defense called ex-TCS member Pamela Need to speak to her knowledge of Lola and Kyle's relationship.
Oh, sure. They were a power couple.
How so?
Kyle was a high-ranking union member for over a decade, before Lola even came on the scene. Whenever Ty traveled to Florida, Kyle was on his team of advisors, like a right-hand man. And we all respected the hell out of that. You had to. Ty was like a deity to us, and we thought his judgment was infallible. In all ways.
So, would you consider Kyle and Lola to be well-known presence in the community?
Absolutely. The Adams held high-ranking positions, even Lola. They commanded respect. They were integral in all fundraising and recruitment programs, all union efforts, really. Everybody knew them.
Tell me about a day in the life for you and Kyle during your marriage.
We typically worked opposing shifts, meaning I would work days and he'd work nights or vice versa. We'd work 10 to 12 hour days, 5-6 days a week, sometimes 7.
What did your duties include?
Everything we did fell into one of 3 camps: fundraising, recruitment, or RP. RP stood for raising profile, but it's easy to swap the letters and call it PR. That's what it was. Anything that raised our estimation in the eyes of the public.
Such as?
Creating a philanthropic project run by TCS, or aligning ourselves with an existing charity, encouraging journalists to write about TCS, posting uplifting, aspirational TCS-related posts on social media, anything.
Were you still doing maintenance work at the temple after you got married?
Not usually. Our rank allowed us to commit to more elevated projects.
Let's talk about fundraising. How did you do this?
Every way imaginable. Sometimes it was standing on street corners near yoga and meditation studios and requesting donations. Sometimes we sold literature about Metta. Sometimes we sold meditation mats or other equipment online. Of course, we always packaged these goods with literature about TCS. Much of the time, actually, our biggest tactic was pressuring members to donate whatever they had.
How would you pressure people? And to what degree?
Objection. Compound.
Rephrase. How would you pressure people?
Verbally. We'd tell them that if they truly supported the cause, they had to give more. That whatever material goods or money they were holding on to paled in comparison to Ty's cause. That if they didn't give, it was the same as actively working against Ty's cause. Sometimes we'd work over a practitioner until they were in tears.
Are you speaking about working over staff members or practitioners who didn't work for the temple?
If you were a staff member, you'd already given everything you had to TCS. You could not fully commit to the point of employment, of day and life study, if you were holding on to value that could benefit TCS. So, to be clear, everyone who worked for the temple had already donated their life savings. For some staff members, that was hundreds of thousands of dollars. More usually, like in my case, it was under 10,000. Within my first 18 months of employment, I'd given TCS everything I had.
And how much was usual for a non-staff member to donate?
In early involvement with the temple, it wasn't that much, a few hundred, a few thousand, and usually you'd receive services in exchange for that money, retreats, classes, etc. But as you progressed and became wholly involved in the community, you grew aware of how much work was needed and how much financial support was required for that work, and members were sought out individually and pressured to donate.
So how much was usual for a practitioner to donate?
It varied, but it was rare to see a senior practitioner who wasn't living paycheck to paycheck. Everything they could give went to the temple, and they were happy to give it.
What made them so happy?
Tai used to give speeches that were a lot like rallying cries. He would visit every location as though on tour, and when he came to your area and spoke at your temple, and you could hear his voice and feel his touch, it was life-altering.
What would happen during these Tai Baiman tours?
Tai would study with us, lecture for us, and allow us to receive his wisdom. He would speak about the importance of our work. He would address the positive things in the world, the good happening all around us, and attribute all that good work to the tapestry.
Such as?
A civil rights movement in a third world country, equality-based legislature, rainfall in an area going through a drought. It could be as small as the life of a single animal or as large as an environmental shift. The tapestry was credited for all of it.
What was it like listening to these speeches?
Moving. So moving. We all wept every time he spoke. It felt like we were contributing to the most important thing in the world, that we were changing the world. Through our daily meditations, we were making the world a better, more holistic, more sustainable place.
Was it all positivity in these speeches?
No. He also spoke about the devastations the world was incurring, and when he did, he was able to pinpoint how the tapestry had either been disturbed or how we weren't reaching the people we needed to strengthen it enough to prevent these disasters.
So you believed that all goodness and all badness in the world depended on the state of the tapestry?
Yes. We left these speeches feeling elated, concerned, and devoted. Commitment of the utmost passion.
How does money factor into this?
If a disaster occurred because the tapestry wasn't strong enough, then we needed more resources to reach more people, to gain more members. And if we donated more, then Tai would be able to travel the world and proselytize to everyone in need. Temples could be built in undertouched areas. We could accomplish the work we needed to do, but it would take money because, you know, that's still the world we live in.
Okay. While Tai was on tour, did he do anything besides lecture?
Yes. He also meditated with us. We were meditating several hours a day, and we believed that meditation was the work strengthening the tapestry. So it was our most sacred practice. And when Tai was in the room, the meditation took on a whole new life. It felt like we could go deeper. It seemed to center us more deeply than any other time. and Ty would go around the room and touch each of our foreheads. I know it sounds crazy now, but at that time, it really did feel like a transcendent experience.
Mark Gibson, current TCS member.
It is a transcendent experience. We in TCS don't think he's a god, but he does have an ability to lead us to a meditative state more profound than anyone else. If you've ever meditated and felt the power of a skilled guide, or even if you've ever experienced the difference between a skilled and unskilled body worker, you know what that's like.
Do you, as a temple member, believe Ty Byman has special powers?
No. We believe he's the world's best meditation guide.
Do you believe in the tapestry?
There's something we call the tapestry in our group, yes, but it's not much different than what most meditation practitioners believe. They call it oneness. It's the same thing.
What is oneness, or as you call it, the tapestry?
Oneness is the state of transcending thought and feeling and becoming connected to the universe. It's that state of total connection to all living things, to one another, to the world. Total connection. We feel that connection most profoundly to one another in TCS, and Ty coined this feeling, this oneness, the tapestry. It's a beautiful sentiment, which is why I feel disgusted to see it used now as a murder defense.
Objection, Your Honor, to Mr. Gibson's baseless, and might I add, offensive opinion. I move to strike that testimony.
He's the one offended, Your Honor. Ms. Watkins hasn't voiced a legitimate objection. You can't object on the grounds of offense.
Sidebar, Your Honor, please.
Tensions built as the trial wore on. The jury was excused as the defense demanded a cautioning of the witness, Mark Gibson. It was delivered. When the jury reconvened, Mark Gibson retook the stand and was asked about temple doctrine.
Were you taught as a member of TCS that great things in the world were the result of your group's work meditating?
That's what we all believe.
So the surrender of a terrorist cell or the release of a POW, those were the things you took credit for?
Not personally. We were more of the mind that by putting out all our positive energy, by focusing on it day in and day out, that people around the world were benefiting from that loving kindness. It was a very peaceful way to help the world. We are pacifists.
So how does a peaceful group, a group that considers themselves the world's greatest pacifists, stand accused of indirectly commissioning a murder?
What was your understanding of doctrine that related to people leaving the tapestry?
You didn't leave the tapestry. You couldn't. To attempt to extricate yourself from the tapestry was the epitome of destructive. Not just to yourself, if you wanted to kill yourself, fine, but to jeopardize all of us, to risk the safety of mankind, it was unconscionable.
Please walk us through why leaving the group, aka extricating from the tapestry, would be risking the safety of mankind.
I, along with all members, were told cautionary tales about members leaving.
What were they?
In 2003, there was Darfur. In 2005, there was Hurricane Katrina. 2008, the American financial crisis. 2010, earthquake in Haiti. All of these were given to us as examples of disasters that correlated with people leaving the tapestry. The doctrine states that when unity is formed, when the tapestry is alive, remember, the tapestry is a unit that's described as being alive, pulsing, living, vulnerable, precious. And when the tapestry is damaged, when a person leaves, when a thread is pulled, it upsets the harmonial balance around the world completely. And that damage is measurable. Natural and human-made disasters are attributed to the tapestry being ruptured.
So, it was TCS's position that Darfur was the result of a member leaving the group?
Yes. There was a woman named Janet Ryan, and she was in charge of temple payroll. She was a CPA, and in 2003, TCS allowed her to leave the state to get her CEUs.
Her continuing education units.
Right. So while away, she was deprogrammed, and the month she stopped being a part of the temple, and so stopped meditating, right, was February 2003, which is when the war in Darfur started. And I remember Tai himself sending out urgent emails to everyone about how that happened because of the disruption in our tapestry.
How integral a member of the tapestry was Janet Ryan?
Well, she was staff, so she was more than a peripheral member. But I wouldn't say she was hugely important.
Is it true that the more important you are, the greater the potential disruption of the tapestry?
Yes, that's true. Because the more you meditate, the more deeper entwined you become. The more damage is created when you pull yourself out.
And the woman credited with causing the war in Darfur, Janet Ryan, would you say she was of medium importance?
Yes, I'd say so.
Okay. Were positive things in the world attributed to the tapestry?
Yes, everything was attributed to the tapestry. Anything good that happened to you personally, that was because of your meditation. Anything that happened to the world, that was because of the union's collective meditation.
Can you give us some examples of positive things that were attributed to the tapestry?
Sure. Well, the election of our first Black president.
That was you guys.
Yeah, that was us. So it happened in 2008, and we had a huge influx of new recruits that year. So the tapestry strengthened, and as a result, we saw this huge social and political progress. But that was everything. Reductions in crime rates, advances in medicine or sustainable energy. Whenever there would be an advancement, we could trace it back to the tapestry.
How? Was it always through new recruits?
No. Sometimes there were changes in meditation protocol that we'd all implement, and then we'd see a positive result in the world from our work. So we thought.
What sort of changes in meditation protocol?
I mean, maybe Tai would up our daily quota from 4 to 4.5 hours, and everyone would implement that 30-minute increase. And then a journalist would be safely returned from a terrorist cell, and that would be attributed to our increase. Or maybe Tai would discover a new technique for meditation, and he'd travel around and teach us all, which we'd pay for, obviously, and then there would be this rise in sustainable energy around the globe.
And you believed all of this was because of your work in TCS?
Yes.
And every negative or positive change in the world was a result of what was happening within the tapestry?
Yes, everything became an affirmation. Whether it was good or bad, big or small, everything was affirmation.
That the world literally depended on the tapestry.
Yes, life, death, freedom, the environment, it was all linked. We were linked to each other and to the world.
And to disturb the tapestry was dangerous.
Very. Anything could happen. The risks were so great.
The risk being higher the more senior you were within TCS.
Yes.
So Janet Ryan, the woman credited with causing the war in Darfur. Was Kyle Adams more senior than she was?
Absolutely.
And would it follow then, according to your doctrine as a TCS member, that if Kyle Adams left TCS, something worse than Darfur would happen?
Yes, that would follow.
What was the temple policy about members leaving TCS?
It was frowned on, but it was not illegal. No one ever filed charges against someone for leaving. We were encouraged to stay, sure, the way I imagine most groups want their members to stay. Retention was valued.
Were you ever taught in TCS that if a member left, bad things would happen?
No.
Were you ever taught that world crises were the fault of members leaving?
No.
Were you ever threatened not to leave?
No.
He's lying.
Objection.
They're all lying. He taught that to us. Your Honor,
the witness is using a motion to impeach the state's witnesses without foundation.
The state called 5 current members of TCS to affirm that TCS never warned members not to leave for fear of worldwide disaster. They all testified that they never heard the stories about Darfur, Katrina, any of it. The state also entered into evidence 20 affidavits from other current TCS members that stated the same thing. Lola Adams, Janet Ryan, and Pamela Need are all ex-TCS members who claimed the opposite. How compelling would you find the quantitative imbalance of witnesses?
I'm going to guide the discussion right now for a lot of reasons. Number one, I'm still feeling claustrophobic. We've been here for 4 weeks. We've been here in this jury room for a while.
I miss
it's
my
been
mom,
a long,
man.
It's been a long day.
I do. I miss my mom.
And I think we just really need some focus right now. So I'd really like to focus, Francis. Yeah. So I'm going to guide us through a number of questions. Feel free to, of course, you know, chime in. But sure. There are certain pieces of evidence that I, as a part of whatever my vote is going to be, you all know I'm undecided, and I am laser focused on the evidence right now. So these questions are going to be laser focused, okay?
Mm. I like that.
I got to ask you guys to chime in on whether or not you think Lola's payment of $150 a week was exploitive.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, I don't think so.
It's not even minimum wage.
So. Oh. Yeah, I know, but she was
legal.
It is not legal.
Oh, well, yes, it is because she was salaried. And when you're salaried, you don't have to have a specific compensation. And her compensation included room and board.
That's right.
Look at how much you pay for rent and food.
Mm-hmm. $150 a week, four times. So let's see, what is that? $600 a month in
yeah,
payment.
Yeah, it
plus
was enough for little.
I mean, she's probably got a room that she's. So,
expenses.
I mean,
so, yeah, but she was happy there.
Yeah.
She
Eat
was
shit,
happy
sleep,
there. She was being trained. She was where she wanted to be.
$400 to $600 for food.
You know,
she chose to be there.
Yeah. I'm retired now, and I do some part-time work sometimes.
She chose to be there, but
150 a
no
week.
No one told
I could
her
appreciate.
That to, you know, no, but you had to stay there.
Fair
that's
enough,
fine.
Cameron.
But how sketchy was it? The whole, like these successful money suits that they've had against them. I mean, to me, that just sounds like.
Yeah.
And you guys, what I'm referring to, right? You know,
you mean unsuccessful suits? The guy
right. He said we have never had any quote-unquote successful
that's,
money
which
suits.
Which implies that yeah. there yeah. were
there,
some,
there's been
yeah.
issues that have come up before, which I just, to me, I just, it's another dark area
well,
of the
when,
cult that I'm just like,
but they didn't
you know,
hold.
I've, like I've had friends that have left
thing.
Cults and Scientology, other cults, and there's a bitterness. There's an anger,
yeah.
and you want to get back, and you
yeah.
look at things just as Lola is looking at things differently now.
Right.
She's deprogrammed.
Well, she's seeing it with clarity.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she stepped
that
back out of the situation that she was in, and she actually using like a rational mind and overlooking everything.
So and some people are bitter because
yeah.
maybe they've
right.
given
I'm
up
saying.
All of their money and they
Alex, does that answer your
in
question?
In return, they were given nothing.
Don't you
no.
think they were taken advantage, though? Because $150
a week,
when you've given up all your life savings,
but
she had surrendered
people
have
given
everything.
Hundreds of thousands
what's the minimum wage
yeah, but
in Florida?
So what?
What's
like
the minimum wage?
$750, you think?
Well, there you go.
She works 14 hours a day,
hours
7
a day.
Days a week.
Not initially. Not initially.
What do you mean not initially?
I think you're
and
all...
She was working with somebody that she loved.
You're missing the point. Life is all about commission anyways. It's all commission. You never guarantee
anything.
So we have two
for exploitive. We have three for not. And we have me who's undecided. Although I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it was exploitive.
Yeah.
So I'm not...
I don't think it's a big issue.
I don't think it's a big issue either,
no.
but it was a fact. It was raised. They spent a lot of time on
but
it.
But they clearly have a history of labor suits being filed against them.
I don't know how clear that was. None of that was entered into to evidence that I'm aware of.
And the
no,
fact,
but I still think it's something to take into
the
account.
The fact that they said that they were unsuccessful means they didn't hold water in court.
Which means they probably settled or they probably reprogrammed them. Who knows?
Let's talk
but
about...
they didn't win.
So
they weren't
yeah,
they
I don't
valid.
Think it's an issue in this murder case.
Let's talk about the paintings.
Yeah,
okay?
That tore me up.
Oh,
sorry.
God.
How did you? I want to hear. I want from every single one of
bad.
You. I want to go in order here. Okay,
yeah.
And I'm going to start. All right, I'm going to start with it very, very simply. I want to know how every single one of you go in turns, starting on my left here. How did everyone react to the story about Lola tearing up her paintings? I'm going to end it after Shane starts off.
Okay.
I mean, it's just despicable. I mean.
You're an artist.
I don't want to speak as the only artist in this room because I guarantee all of you probably, you know, do art in some other facet or medium. But to say that art needs to be destroyed and that art is like this outlet of where it's just uncharacterized and unprescribed and unfocused energy, I think that's just hogwash and just total bullshit. I mean, they're villainizing art.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling her to destroy art. Art is, I mean...
It, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I know you're an artist. I know you're a phenomenal screenplay writer. Would you, in your right mind, in your reasonable mind, Would you ever stand in front of a group of us or any other people and rip up every single screenplay that you've ever written?
Absolutely not.
So she clearly was an unreasonable person.
But she was, I mean, they told her art was bad. Everything that they were saying was that art is not good, and if you spend your time on art, it means you are unfocused and you have a lot of negative energy that needs to be then refocused somewhere else. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I personally believe that art is what changes the world. Art is how we find love. Art is how we find kindness. Art is how we...
So life is art to you?
Life imitates art, imitates life.
Banks, yeah. Banks, I'd like to hear
your
reaction.
That's a fair point.
I just think it's despicable and it's very sad.
I agree with everything Shane said. And to build on that, I think that those paintings were her identity. They were 20 years of her life.
Exactly.
That she's then had to sacrifice. And I say that with so much emphasis because that's ultimately, for me, that is the point in the story where she's handed over her entire identity.
Did they put a gun to her head and force her to do that?
No, and she even said, you know, they didn't explicitly say that art needed to be destroyed, but I think there was so many suggestive messages and pressure in that point to make a demonstrative, almost, you know, sacrifice. Yeah.
A choice. Yeah. She chose the sacrifice.
Yeah,
under
agree.
Pressure and under, like, subliminal so messaging and this idea of having to be this perfect, in this perfect meditative state to kind of be empowering the tapestry. For me, it was just the biggest sacrifice.
Francis?
I agree. That was her choice, you know, to play her commitment to the group.
When you heard the story, how did you feel? I want to hear, what were your thoughts about that? How did it make you feel? Like, did it make you angry?
Well, like I said earlier, it tore me up, like, truly. Okay. And I'm not trying to joke around, but honestly, like, it's like, I get it. If somebody told me that, hey, you can't fight fire this way because of this, that, or the other, because it's not, I don't know, proven or something. Well, it's like, okay. Well, let's find out what works, what doesn't, you know? And it's all about, like you were saying, Shane, life is all about art. You know, you do experience, you do learn. It's all commitment, it's all choice. And honestly, as much as I don't really agree with, I don't agree with, you know, tearing up the paintings, but it was a power play on her part. It was her power play to try and show her off her commitment to the group.
Campbell?
Exactly. I agree with everybody. I found it devastating. I could visualize it. I saw her in front of all of these people destroying her identity, showing in what was a supreme sacrifice. The money wasn't important.
Do you think she was forced to do that?
Oh, no, okay. But she was
I think that's
manipulated.
An important point.
No.
This was the change phase.
Yes.
And
I think we need to not be so cynical. She was ready. Like, and no one hold a gun up to her head, but she didn't necessarily make this choice by free will. She's in this place where they're telling her every day that art is bad and the only way to do good is to meditate. And all she wants to do is fit in. We heard that being a high-ranking position is a really great thing.
Yeah.
Being involved in it is a really great thing. And if again, Banks and I have already said, if we were in this thing, I would do the same thing. I would want to work my way up to the top to be powerful.
So you do suggestive.
So you think she was under? So you think at that point she was under mind control to do that?
I think she was under a lot of pressure to fit in and do what
they thought
was right.
I think she was under mind suggestion.
Van,
I felt bad for her. I felt sorry for her that she allowed these insane people to use vague expressions of innuendo and just a suggestion and a very nebulous influence on something that a reasonable person wouldn't do. It reminded me of Hitler burning the books.
Me too. Man.
Okay, and
that's a fair point.
To me, that was very, very deeply saddening, and for her. Again, I go back to the red flag. This is one more red flag that she ignored.
Exactly.
And stayed and then and did self-deprecation in tearing up all her artwork. I mean, that's self-destructive. A reasonable person doesn't do self-destruction.
This is good. I like the focus. Let's keep on it.
What do you think, Alex?
When I was listening to it, you know, one of my favorite films of all time is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And you remember when Indy gets out and he goes to Berlin to go try to find the diary, and he runs into Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep bringing up Adolf Hitler, and he runs into him, and you're seeing all the books
Nazi
burning.
Discussion.
I'm thinking about that.
He gives it back to him.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking about the book burning, but it's different in a way. Like, I would never do that. I would never do that. I would never. If something I loved, if something that was part of my identity, there's no way I would do that.
But I think everybody in this room has been in a situation, whether it's a job interview or on a date or with a new group of friends or something, where you've maybe cracked a joke or you've done something that's out of your character to try and impress.
Yeah, it sounds like you've never wanted. It sounds like you've never wanted to fit in before.
No, I mean, look, man, I went to Catholic school my whole life, you know, and I wasn't an athlete. Yeah, there was all the football players running around. You had to figure out ways. Of course, I always wanted to fit in, but I would never. I guess I'm just a really reasonable person. I would just never, something I worked on for decades, like I'm a part-time musician, so, you know, I would never smash my bass guitar because somebody told me I shouldn't be doing that and I should be meditating, because that's an appendage. It's a part of my being.
What if Pete Townshend asked you to smash the guitar so you could play in the band?
How did you know that The Who was my favorite band?
Seriously.
That is so not fair.
That's fantastic.
The Who that's is great. Honestly my favorite band. But like we're not. Who. Listen, we need to stay focused, okay?
Yeah. You know I'm sorry, what my reaction is. I like you even more now. Stop making me like you, Alex.
But one of the vague implications, it's energy misplaced. And that's arrogance.
Yeah, I agree.
For them to say you're like misplacing your energy, that's damn
absolutely.
Arrogant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can I talk about art like
let's
that?
Let's focus. Hold
but
on.
We're looking
really
at
quick.
That from as outsiders. We're not looking
bada
at
bing,
what
bada boom,
she
Campbell.
Felt, what she was thinking.
Can I bring up a very big point
sure.
that she just said about trying to get into the mind of yes. Lola? I want to bring up the Florida statute that we were talking about earlier the other day. You know, and since Adolf Hitler is being brought up so much in this conversation, I want to bring him up again.
Can we not?
What if he was on trial for killing all those millions of Jews?
All right, we're gonna keep
firmly. Yeah, and he, hang on.
The next question.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
I know where if this is going.
I'm sorry.
I really don't
I'm sorry.
Go there.
I'm sorry. If he, I'm sorry.
Finish your statement.
Thank you. If he reasonably believed that killing all those Jews would save the world. Then he would get off according to this statute.
No. End of discussion.
All right. Okay. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting point.
It's been irking me a lot, and I wanted to bring that to attention.
You already made that point, and that's great, but we're not talking about that now. Right now, we're talking about evidence. We're not talking about philosophy. I understand where you're coming from.
Reasonable beliefs is philosophy.
I have very specific questions about evidence that we're going to stick to, and me as jury foreman, you're going to listen to these questions, and you're going to answer them in the way that I present them. How did everyone what did everyone think of the exercise that Lola was talking about with Kyle's location and the consciousness?
Come on.
We're gonna go through this exact same exercise.
Okay.
This time I'm gonna start with Van. How did you feel about that? Mm. What did that make you? What was your reaction to that?
About when you said his location, you mean geographically?
They closed the eyes and he ever the feeling and at the.
Oh, you mean pointing to?
Yeah.
The
I mean, what did
well,
you?
Well, I know that that's all possible, and I'm going back to what I said before.
What does this have to do with the case?
I want to go through every single piece of
but
evidence.
But this is about them like being in a room, touching each other, and feeling it. I don't think that has to do with her killing her husband.
No. I'm. This is all a part.
I know. I just this doesn't seem on topic.
Can you restate your question? I don't understand.
I think it does point to.
I think it
her
should.
Belief in. The
connection, the
connection
the
between no, the connection between she and her husband,
her,
and
well,
the love
yeah,
that she felt.
She said, "I felt a special connection to him. That's why I was
think
able
she
find
was attracted
was.
To him from the day she walked in the door and saw him."
There is a reason why I'm asking this question. I want to know if you guys think that this was all a show.
Yes,
like
I her
do,
show
I
or their show.
It was a
both.
Progression.
That's
it was
a great
progression
question.
Of their training her. It was a progression. She's got to this point now.
Oh,
where
yeah.
I'm trying to get
him.
To the veracity of Lola. Too. She's on the witness stand trying to protect her ass, people. So, yes, every single question I have has a reason behind it.
So, have you ever
like
tried to put
show.
On a good show in order to get something that you wanted?
I have.
Was it with your wife?
So, it doesn't mean that she can or can't. I'm just saying.
Well, we're not going there. So,
but you chose to put on that good show.
So, no thoughts with respect to, you know, when she was talking about Kyle being in the room? And
well, I
did you think she was being truthful?
Just blew up just as soon as I spoke.
Yeah, let Van finish.
Go ahead,
I think
Van.
He was.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So, I'm going to go back to my experiences in doing meditation, and I know that there are people, and I have met people, and I've worked with people who have more abilities than the rest of us, let's say. They have intuitive abilities that go beyond the five senses. You can refer to the movie The Sixth Sense, and here's a little boy. I see dead people. He talks to people in spirit. In the Bible, it says there is no death. So you put all that together. There are people that have these abilities. Hmm. Now, I do know that meditation will enhance your consciousness, will expand your consciousness so you can develop. And in the martial arts, they teach that. And I know some people who actually have been able to do that in martial arts. I had a friend who's 200 pounds. He says, I know a guy to work with chi. He would hold his fist against me, against my chest. He said he'd open his fingers like that and I'd fall on my butt. So I know that there are expanded abilities. She may have a degree of meditation that she did, she may have had the ability to
So you believed in the story, Campbell?
I believe that she believes it.
And, Francis?
Yeah.
Well, can you rephrase your question that you...
I just want to know if when you were hearing this whole story about her and her now dead husband that she shot, when they were doing the exercise and how she was the strong person... When you were listening to that story, how did that make you feel, number one? And number two, do you think that it was a truthful story?
I don't know how I felt.
Okay.
I don't know how I felt. I don't remember. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. You know, sometimes we forget things that happen in that courtroom. And, Fair enough. And it's difficult because just weren't there. We have to, you know.
It didn't leave a big impression on you. It maybe didn't leave a big impression upon you. For some reason, that sat
But it
with
can't
me.
Be dismissed, though.
I agree.
Just because I don't remember anything a lot about it doesn't mean that other people, it can't be dismissed.
Banks.
Because yeah. I agree with Campbell. I agree. I think that she truly believed this. This was her moment of really, you know, she's been wanting to impress so badly. She burnt her art. She's given her life savings. This was her moment of connection and getting to that next level. And also, this has been a slow indoctrination over time. So she's committed her life to this. She Right. doesn't want to believe that none of this is real. And if she can make this connection with this man that she clearly fancies, then that's a powerful motivator for her to really be reaching this level that she's been aspiring to for years now.
Shane?
I don't really understand how Van can believe in finding someone and feeling someone that's not actually physically touching you but doesn't believe in mind control.
You haven't been there.
Doesn't mean that it doesn't, what do you mean I haven't doesn't been there? Or does not happen. Like
my experience.
So then you're saying that
but your experience is not everyone's experience.
My experience in the world is that I have experiences that other people have not had, and they'll say, "No, that's not possible." I said, "Well, you can't tell me that I
well,
did
I
not.
Know, but you're you, telling hold me on, you believe hold on, in hold on, magic, hold on, hold on,
hold on, hold on, please, hold on, please.
You asked him a question. Let him answer.
Yeah, let's finish.
It was more of like a.
Let me finish.
Let him finish.
Come on. You can't tell me I did not have a dream last night.
No,
you
I
didn't experience it.
You're right.
Okay, I rest my case.
That question was a bomb. Let's move on to something.
Yeah.
Hey, look,
again,
I'm
not
doing,
that relative.
I'm not a professional jury foreman, people. I'm trying to get to a decision. Mm.
I think that was good. I think that was important.
I think so. You're keeping us on the right track, and I appreciate that.
All right, no. I gotta really ask you this. This blew me away. Okay, this is where, you know. For a lot of the time, we've been hearing all along about Lola's belief about the consequences of world events, both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. We heard from a couple of people, ex-members that you know somewhat supported her, and then we had some other testimony and evidence and affidavits submitted that saying, "Oh no, this isn't true." Like, but seriously, I'm gonna start off this discussion about this question about what you think of the TCS belief. In the ability of the tapestry to affect world events. I'm telling you, I'm listening to this and I think it's crazy. And I've never heard anything so crazy in my entire life. Everything that is good, we affected. Everything that is bad, that's because you guys aren't working hard enough.
So you don't believe in the law of attraction?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying they tie it to everything. Okay, and as somebody who I'm gonna lay this out right now.
Yeah.
Somebody who went to Catholic school his entire life and has guilt just kind of built into me, and I kind of suffer from it. Like everything
don't dismiss
that
Jewish guilt.
I mean, listen, the Catholic and the Jewish, we forget about
the Jews invented guilt, sold it to the Catholic.
I know.
We did.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that I'm every time something bad happens, there is this little bubble in the back of my brain.
What did I do?
What did I do? Yeah. I want to smash it. I'm telling you right now, it has kept me behind in life.
Thought stopping.
I hear that.
So I want to hear your thoughts, Van, first. When you were listening to Darfur, when you were listening to Hurricane Katrina, when you were hearing about the election of President Obama, all this stuff, how do you feel?
I felt, save the pants, the shoes are already ruined. It's getting deep in here.
What
okay.
the hell?
And it's an old saying back East Coast back in the 50s. The bullshit is getting too deep here. Some of those things, in a general sense, yeah, when you meditate, you get to a peaceful place. We do radiate energy, and that's verifiable and can be done in a lab. But for them to take credit for Obama being elected, for good things happening in the world, we're saving mankind, this is arrogance.
Campbell?
This is, yeah.
Oh, well, they take more credit than Trump does.
Enough said. Wow. Mic drop. Oh, Francis.
Wow. it blows me away. You know, to think that
you have that much power.
That you could claim something like that because honestly, truly, 100%, we do not know.
It's absurd.
No, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right.
You cannot prove or disprove that.
They can use it. They can use it to their advantage.
They could use that to their advantage. However, anyone who's in a right state of mind cannot prove or disprove that.
Banks?
I've got two things. The first thing is on that phenomenal claim of world influence, I feel like it just comes down to the same thing that all cults seem to relate to, and it's power. It's a way of kind of asserting this tie is basically saying that he has, it's a godly status thing. Yeah. But my big problem with this is why would these two women come in and lie for Lola Adams? They have no motivation to do that.
We're going
to
go over that next. I want to hear about I want to know, when you were hearing about Darfur, Hurricane Katrina, President Obama, and they caused this, what were the thoughts going through your head?
I think it's...
Did they sound crazy? Did they sound reasonable?
Oh,
sounds
like you're leading
now. They sound to me like a man with a God complex who is... needs a reason to justify all the money that he's pulling from all his followers.
Huh.
That, you know, his whole reason for creating these camps, this religion that he's formed, it gives everybody there their purpose.
He's operating from like a sense of complete grandeur.
Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's complete dogma. the idea that a bunch of yogis are sitting in a room with their legs crossed saving the world by praying. I mean, come on. I agree, you know, I think setting yourself into a good mindset and having positive energy then sets you into the correct intention, but having good intentions is not what's going to save the world.
Well, action without intention without action is meaningless.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So sitting in the room and crossing
your
legs.
But we can't prove that.
Going back to what Banks was saying earlier before, my next question, okay, and this is why I was asking the question about the whole exercise. I'm talking about the veracity of Lola as well as the other witnesses that were saying that you know, quote-unquote, TCS doctrine taught us this, okay? 25 people claim that worldwide disaster doctrine was never taught. Only 3 claim that it was.
That can't
Who
be
are we supposed to believe?
That can't be dismissed.
But those are all the people that are still in the cult.
That's a
they
good
have
point.
An agenda.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that cannot be dismissed either.
Right. And it undermines
the They're still defense. Members of TCS. How do we know that they...
aren't being programmed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, somebody doesn't believe in mind control.
Well, they've been
prepped. That's true.
They've been prepped in what not to say.
I think that this is the crux, people. We have three people that left that said they say this. They have 25 people that are still in. So do we believe those witnesses? Do we believe the TCS witnesses that were on?
I tend to believe the three that have left.
I mean, look at the way Lola got emotional and like freaked out at the guy when he started saying that none of it was true and da 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 da. I mean, that's the first time I've really seen her bark up in courtroom.
Shane, what do you think about really get emotional?
Had no reason to lie.
Exactly.
They had no reason to do anything but tell the truth.
Whereas the 25 that have protected the temple, if they speak out against the temple, they're going to destroy the tapestry. So it almost, the fact that they're lying supports Lola's case.
They have an agenda.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the agenda for them?
All right, so can we at least agree as a jury, because this is great, we're making a lot of progress, that we believe more in the three than the 25? Van, I really want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. No, I felt that the people saying it didn't happen. I felt they were lying.
Then we have I think we have a piece of evidence that we can finally enter and we go right down. We believe, all of us believe, that church doctrine said if they left the tapestry, the world would fall apart.
I didn't say the world would fall apart.
No, they said that's what the three witnesses said.
Yeah. Risk, the world would fall apart.
We can ask them. They have to get their
quote. Risk the safety of mankind. Unquote.
That's correct.
He's got it. There you go.
Pardon me.
So we could all agree on that. Now we can put that one in the books.
Yes.
That was the reason why I wanted to guide us through this discussion, people. Mm.
Wait, were you manipulating us?
Yes.
No, he was. Were you guiding us? Are you programming us?
Let's call a spade a spade. He was guiding
us. You were programming.
I'm trying my best, Francis, to move us forward as much as you're trying to move us backward.
No, I completely disagree with the fact that I'm trying to move us backward. I believe that if we all come together and work and listen as a team, then we can truly change the world with our decisions.
We have agreed. We have agreed. Let's better than words.
Okay, now before we move on, before we break for the day, because I'm telling you, I need to see some sunlight. Anybody want to bring up anything today that we didn't address through my questions? It's now open forum. Try to limit your questions and responses to like a minute or something, so I can get out of here. I'm feeling
claustrophobic.
I just
want to say something really quick. I feel like it speaks volumes to me personally, and something that I'm definitely going to reflect on tonight. Is that these, you know, I think Van said it, what was it, something about the end of mankind or something?
Yeah, the risk to the safety of mankind.
You know, and I know, Campbell, one of your biggest concerns was that there was no one else in the cult that said it except Lola, but I just feel like now we have four accounts of people being like, yeah, they said that, and this is, I mean, to me, that just speaks volumes, and I just have a lot to think about tonight. I mean, I really... You know, if Lola's now not the only person saying it, who knows what threats have been made to other members, and who knows what threats have been made to these people and their family? And I'm not trying to speculate. It makes me think about these people and now what they're going through, because they're not going through the same thing as Lola, because they're not in a court case, but like they have a lot to go through emotionally to program themselves.
In our previous discussions, Campbell was overly focused on Lola's testimony, but obviously we heard the testimony of these other individuals. That was just, three versus 25. We'd never really talked about it in detail right now.
Right, but now we've all agreed.
Well, because we needed to. I needed to guide us through this discussion.
Well, I know, but I'm not trying to change in a point or anything. I'm just saying I personally have a lot to think about.
Well, that was the point of this focus. I mean, we've already went through the trial. We were there. We listened to all this testimony. We needed to focus on the three versus 25. I needed to make sure that we laid it out, and we did. We got rid of the 25. Right. We're going to completely dismiss them.
Yep.
Anything else that anybody wants to bring up?
Lola also said that she was told you could, and I wrote this down, kill yourself, but you could not leave the group.
Yikes.
Or horrible things would happen.
Banks, you got anything you want to, you know, throw out there?
No, I think this conversation just to me highlights her isolation through all of this, her time in the temple, her isolation from her outside world, and it just cements to me the fact that they were so hugely taken over her life, totally in control of her. It just cements kind of what I felt in the beginning.
Van?
Yeah.
I noticed that after she came to her senses, she looked back and felt shameful. She said the word shameful to separate from her family. She also realized there was no tapestry. So after the fact, when she did come to reason, she admitted she did wrong.
Francis.
You know, normally I might have something extremely
prophetic.
Extremely philosophical. Opinionated and questioning about this situation. But right now, I don't.
And on that note, I think we should adjourn for the day.
I will go ahead and do those duties. I really feel that we made a huge amount of progress today. And with this particular dedication towards laser focus, guiding, coming up with what evidence we can actually look at and dismiss, I'm really proud of us. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow for our next deliberations, because I really want this. I want this to end. I want to go back to my life. I don't know about you all, but I want to go back to my life.
And you did a great job, Alan.
I want the
right
thing
to happen. Foreman.
That's what I want.
Ready, break.
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audioboom Network. Today's cast, jury, Rudy Salo, Sherry Michaels, Jim Donnelly, Mark Smeltzer, J.P. Stanley, and Kate Mullum-Wallace. Courtroom, Katarina Tana, Ramondo Isom, Cooper Hardin, Cindy Lopez, Eric Schein, Matthew Brian Steiner, and Danielle McFadden. We are taking a break from our jury breaks this week, but I will see you Wednesday for our next installment, Deprogramming, in which Kyle Adams becomes deprogrammed from TCS. See you then.